Y'all, so glad you're here on this Labor Day, and by the way, happy Labor Day. Forgive me if I don't use these tissues correctly today. I was brought up in Rockmart where we were taught to get your head away from your body, close one nostril, and blow. Amen? So if I do that, it's just my raising. All right. The next few weeks, we're going to discover who we are. Because when you don't know who you are, others will mold you into the image they want you to be. And everybody struggles with this question of, who am I really? And you hear of mistaken identities all the time. Friday, I was going into Dollar General before I went and spoke to the football team. So I had my football shirt on, and I was going to get some mouthwash or something. And the lady looked at me and said, "Are you the coach? Are you Coach Kramer?" I said, "No, but I'm sure glad he's a good guy, because we do look alike." But we need to create a positive ID and not a negative ID for our life. So I want to begin this series for the next probably 4, 5, 6 weeks about creating a positive week with, you know, this one is, do you really know a positive ID? Do you really know who you are? And we're going to look at probably the most famous example of a confused identity in the Bible. His name is Moses, one of the greatest leaders in the Old Testament. He brought the slaves out of Egypt. I mean, God gave him the Ten Commandments. He wrote the first 5 books of the Bible. You know, but none of this would have happened if Moses hadn't have figured out who he was. But what is his true identity? What is our true identity? Well, to kind of set this up, this story up about Moses, that the Jewish people had been enslaved in Egypt for 400 years. And they had multiplied. And they had multiplied so much over these 400 years, Pharaoh got to thinking, you know, pretty soon there's going to be more than there are of us, so he said, "I got to do something about this." So his plan was to kill the firstborn sons. And so he made a decree that all the baby boys would be killed. And so Moses' mom came up with her own plan. And she hid him for a while, and she put him in a basket and placed him in the Nile River, right above where Pharaoh's daughter was bathing. So in the very beginning, we know Moses, this great leader, he was a basket case. I love to think of how God raises basket cases to lead leadership. So she takes him home, and she pretends that he is her baby. He is raised in Egyptian royalty. This is a story of lost identity, confused identity, and missing identity. It's a story of Moses. He rediscovered who he really was and how it changed his life, how it changed his destiny, and how it changed history in the world. Hebrews 11, 23 and 27, it's in your outline, or you can follow in your Bible. It says, "By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. So today we're gonna set up this series of finding your identity. Because I want to tell you, knowing who you are is going to be less stressful. You're going to be more resilient to peer pressure. You're going to be much happier. And the fear is going to go away almost all the way when you know who you are. In this passage, we learn four things that happen when you figure out your true identity, when you know who you are. So real quick, we'll jump into it. Knowing my identity, number one, knowing my identity demonstrates spiritual maturity. Demonstrates spiritual maturity. Knowing who I am is this mark of maturity. You know, growing up, Moses asked these questions just like all of us do. You know, who am I? Where do I come from? Where am I going? Does my life matter? Does my life count? Does my life have meaning? Who am I really? And who am I supposed to be? And what am I supposed to do with my life? All of these identity questions Moses asked, just like you and I do today. All these identity questions, they're really, really important, because at some time in your life and my life, just like Moses, we got to figure this out. We got to figure this out. Hebrews 11:24 says, by faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. It says when he had grown up. When he had grown up, he refused to be known. This is the spiritual maturity. And he refused to live a lie. This road to spiritual maturity leads to personal identity. The closer that you get to God, the more you're going to understand you. The more you're going to know you. Because he is your creator. You are the created. So spiritual maturity leads to personal identity. You know, here's this guy who was born poor. I mean, the poorest of the poor. Enslaved. And then he was raised by the most richest, powerful man at this time in the world. Then when he grows up, he says, am I royalty or am I a slave? It's confusion, this identity crisis. So he has to decide who he is. So he's got a couple of choices here. He can pretend the rest of his life that he is Pharaoh's grandson. And he can live this luxurious lifestyle of power, of pleasure. Or he can admit that he is the son of a Jewish slave. And that he can be poor all of his life. That he would be thrown out of the palace. That he would be submitted to slave labor. Now, which would you choose? Would you fake it? Or would you go be who God wants you to be? Moses refuses to live a lie. Because there's so much stress that comes in living a life and not knowing who you are. When you don't know who you are, you live for the expectation of others. You live when you don't know who you are. You live for the approval of others. You become a people pleaser. You don't know who you are, so you become who your spouse wants you to be. You don't know who you are, so you become who your mom wants you to be. You don't know who you are, so you become who your boyfriend or your girlfriend wants you to be, your parents, or even your friends. The most spiritual person that ever walked on this earth was Jesus Christ. Look at what he said in John 8:14. He said, I know where I came from, and where I am going. That's where I want you to be as your pastor. That you don't try to be someone or something that you're not. I want you to know your strengths. And I want you to know your weaknesses. I want you to know what your past is. But if you can write something down, write this. I'm a product of my past, but I'm not a prisoner of my past. I am a product of my past, but I am not a prisoner of my past. You all have a past. We all have a past, both good and bad and ugly. But I want to tell you guys, your past is not your destiny. It's not your destiny. Your past is not where you're going. And you know what else about knowing your identity? It gives you the confidence to serve other people. Did you know that insecure people can't serve others? Because you're always walking around wondering what others are thinking about you. What they're saying. John 13:3-5 says, Jesus knew that he had come from God. He also knew that the Father had given him complete power. So he got up, wrapped a towel around his waist, and began washing his disciples' feet. In this time, only the slaves would wash feet. You know, never the host. Because it was the most menial task. Nobody had shoes, you know. Maybe some sandals, and their feet were nasty. So it was the lowliest of the slaves that washed the feet. But Jesus knew who he was. He knew who he was. And he washes his disciples' feet. So until you get rid of your insecurities, you will be afraid to do the menial task. Until you get rid of your insecurities, you'll be afraid to serve others. Maturity is not needing the approval of other people. You don't need it. And chances are, if you hadn't got the approval of them by now, you're not going to get it. But when you stop concerning yourself with the approval of other people, then that's success. That's success. Secondly, knowing my identity defines my responsibilities. It defines my responsibilities. It clarifies what God expects of me. And it also clarifies what God doesn't expect of me. I'm going to tell you something, guys. God does not expect me to sing. At all. And you know what else he doesn't expect me to do? Organize. I'm not an organizer. And God doesn't expect me to run the sound. You know why? All you'd hear is, wah! But the beauty of this is God isn't going to judge me for the gifts he didn't give me. Everything is not my responsibility. What I finally came to is that God created you to do some things in life. Not everything. Not everything. Just some things. And the reason that you may be under a lot of stress now is that you're just trying to do too much. You're just trying to do things that you weren't created to do. When you take on too many things, you know what a warning sign is? Worry. Worry. Worry is this warning sign. Hey, Jim, you've taken on too much responsibility. You know, God custom-made all these events around Moses' life to prepare him for one task, to lead his people out of Egypt. All this stuff was for one task, to lead his people out of her. You know, because first, you know, Moses was born a Hebrew slave. And he gave him, God gave him these parents. He gave him the exact DNA DNA that he would need. Did you know that's why God gave you the parents that you have? God was more interested in making you with their DNA than their parenting skills. He was interested in you having both of those parents. I want to tell you something, guys. If God hadn't have brought those two together, you wouldn't exist. You wouldn't exist. So honor your mother and father. Why? Because God's interested in you. He put your mom and dad together, no matter what age you are. He wanted it to be you to be you. So he took their DNA, and now you exist. You exist because of those two. But with Moses, God even planned that his parents wouldn't raise him, that he would be raised in a palace. Maybe you weren't raised by your parents. Maybe you were raised with a stepmom or a stepdad. You might not even have known your parents. Well, guess what? That's part of the plan, too. That's part of the plan, too. It is not a mistake. You are not a mistake. Accept it. It's all part of your identity. It's part of the plan. That's why Moses knew who he was. He had to make a decision. Look at verse 25. Moses chose to be mistreated. This is a decision. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. God chose you to be born. But then when you grow up, you have to choose him. You make the choice. In your life, there's going to be some things that you have to say yes to. In your life, there's going to be have to some things you say no to when you grow up. Let me give you two more marks of spiritual maturity. The first one is this, if you're filling in blanks. I'm spiritually mature when I stop blaming others for my life's decisions. When I stop blaming others. And that's hard. You know why that's hard? You know, it's hard because we always want to blame it on somebody else. It's somebody else's fault. It's always the school's fault, or the coach's fault, or the media's fault, or the teacher's fault, or Uncle Jim's fault. It's his fault. We're like what we are. Other people in your life can hurt you. Other people in life can really, really hurt you. But they can't ruin you without your permission. You choose to. I love that word, ruin. I know some of you say ruin. But the only time somebody can ruin your life is if you choose to let them. Secondly, as I stop living off other people's spiritual commitment. You can't live off your parents' commitment all your life. You can't say, well, you know, my dad went to church all his life. My mom was a Christian. Well, you're going to have to grow up. And you gotta make a choice. You know, you can't skate by on your girlfriend's decision. The real issue is you. So I have a question. Who are you blaming for the misdirection of your life? Who are you blaming? Who are you blaming for your unhappiness? And I got two words for that. Stop it. Stop it. Who are you holding on to for spiritual maturity? Romans 14:12 says, each of us will give an account of himself to God. Each of us will give an account of himself. Knowing my identity, number three, knowing my identity decides my priorities. It decides my priority. It helps me in to know what to focus on. It helps me in to know what to prioritize. It helps me to know what to ignore. It helps me to know what matters and what don't matter. When you know exactly who you are, you know how to spend your time. When you know exactly who you are, you know how to spend your money. And look at Moses' decision. He sees how the slaves are treated and how he's living in this lap of luxury. But once Moses knows his true identity, he knows what his priorities are. Hebrews 11:26 says, Moses regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. He knows his values. You know, here's the question I wanted to ask you today. You know, if I were to ask you the five most important values in your life, could you do that? Could you name the five most important values? And could you name them in order? What are you going to build your life on? And do that in order. Five values. I was sick yesterday, so all I could do was watch football. And I was watching this thing, you know, and I thought, gosh, I just hate Ohio State. Why am I watching this? I was watching this thing on Urban Meyer, and his daughters and his family got together, and before he signed the contract with Ohio State, he had a list of 10 things that they wanted him to sign for, a contract that he would. And they were honor God, honor his family, work no more than 9 hours a day, always attend his kids' events, take care of himself physically, just a bunch of different things. What he had done was written a contract of what he valued. And then he signed it, and the rest of his family signed it. Guys, I want to tell you, if you can't name five values, five priorities that you need to honor, I'm going to tell you, if you can't name them, other people will name them for you. So go home. Go home and write down five. If you don't, you're going to live for what society says is important. That's your homework. Just write down five things. List those five values that you want to build your life on. Because until you do that, you're living at the very mercy of God. I mean, at mercy of the world. In this passage, it shows us, this passage I read, it shows us what the world values and what the world's priorities are and what Moses' priorities are. You know, if you look at it 5,000 years later, it's the world's priorities still. They haven't changed a bit. And the world's priorities are this. There's three of them real quick out of verse 24, 25, 26. The very first priority it mentions is popularity. It's popularity. You know, I have to wear this, or I have to hang out with these folks, with this group. You know, if I go out with this guy, it's still the world's priorities to be popular. Popularity. Second one is pleasure. Pleasure. There ain't nothing wrong with pleasure. It's just not supposed to be your God. It's not supposed to be a priority. And the last one, number three, and that's possessions. Wealth, security, and you know, Moses walked away from them. He knew his identity. He had it all. He had salary. He had status. He had power. He had sex. He had everything. But here was Moses' priorities. And he said, Pastor, that's what I strive for hours to be. Number one is fulfilling God's purpose. Fulfilling God's purpose was better than popularity. Because I want to tell you, fame doesn't last. It just does not last. Secondly, is loving God's people. Loving God's people is better than pleasure. He traded the palace for the slaves. Thirdly, is having God's peace is better than the possessions. Having God's peace. Peace comes from God's purpose. Moses was looking ahead to his reward. And that's what motivated Moses. Write this down. My vision sets my values. What I look at is what I'm going to become. And what I look at most is what I'm going to love the most. It determines my values. My vision sets my values. What I look at is what I'm going to become. And what I look at most is what I'm going to love the most. It determines my values. Moses said, I'm going to look ahead to heaven where I will be rewarded. Philippians 3:8 says, yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the priceless gain of knowing Christ Jesus. Everything else is worthless. Number four, knowing my identity determines my destiny. Your identity determines your destiny. Once Moses knew his identity, his life took a whole new direction. The problem is we want to change our circumstances. But instead, God wants to change us. So many times I've prayed, Lord, take this away. I've even prayed, you know, do something with this guy. Get him out of here. But God wants to change us. We think if we can just get out of here, or if I can just get a new boyfriend, or if I just get rid of this spouse, I'll be happy. The problem is you can get rid of all of that, but there's still you. You can go somewhere else and you take you with you. You can find you a different spouse and you have you with you. 11:27 says this, it was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt. He was not afraid of the king. He kept right on going because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. Learning my true identity does a couple of things. It gives me, number one, it gives me the courage to let go of the past. And secondly, it gives me the courage to walk into the future. He left Egypt. Egypt here represents slavery and bondage. I want to know today, what's your Egypt? What's your Egypt? What's got you stressed out? What's got you enslaved? What's got you in bondage? And you need the courage to walk out. And you can get that if you know your identity. Your hurts, your failures, your pains are all part of the plan. God don't waste hurts. He don't waste them. This courage to walk into a future with a new identity in Christ, that's why we call it born again. We're a new creature when we walk into the future in Christ. When you know who you are, there's no critic and there's no problem that can stop you. Moses had endurance. Moses kept going. Guys, if you don't know who you are, you're going to give up. You're going to stop. By keeping your eyes on the invisible. But guys, you can only do the impossible when you can see the invisible. It was impossible. It was a monumental, impossible task to free, you know, I think it was over 1 million slaves that had been captive for 400 years in Egypt. And the most powerful man in the world had him captured. But Moses could see the invisible. Moses kept his eyes on the invisible, and therefore he could do the impossible. So the two easiest mistakes you can make in your life is forgetting who you are. Secondly, The mistake is losing your focus on what God has you here for. Hebrews 12:2 says, keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished the race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish with God. He could put up with anything along the way. Cross, shame, whatever. Colossians 3:1-2 says, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits. Let heaven fill your thoughts. Do not think only about things down here on earth. This is what we're talking about. This is long-term focus. Don't forget your identity. You can be born again. It's up to you to make a decision. I guess that's it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this morning. Lord, I pray for that young man or that woman that they've got to make a decision now to follow you or follow the world. And I pray for that young lady who's been trying to get somebody's approval all these years. And she's not going to happen. I pray that over the next month that she'll find her identity and find her purpose, and that she will begin to live for your approval and no one else's. Lord, I love you. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.